Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.
That noise can only mean one thing. The Royal Rumble is here. And WrestleMania season is in full swing. I've got all of my predictions and a special guest host. Let's get started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
WrestleMania season is officially here. In just a couple of short days as I record this, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view is going to happen. And it is one of the most exciting pay-per-views, I think, of the entire year. It is one of my favorites, and I'm looking forward to this year's, really more than I would in years past. And while there are some very predictable outcomes of the Royal Rumble and some matches that I feel are locks, I have more matches than fewer that I believe I really have no clue. And WWE is possibly going to be throwing us a curveball. And so I'm excited about this year's Royal Rumble, particularly the women's Royal Rumble, I believe more than the men's. And lots of rumors swirling around as well in terms of returns. Yeah, could we see big returns? Could we see some jaw-dropping moments? It's possible. And I get to all of that in my conversation with my co-host this week. And his name is Matt Degnan. And we went through all of the Royal Rumble matches, including, obviously, the Royal Rumble matches themselves, and went through some nostalgia and how he got into wrestling. And it was a great conversation. We actually went for over an hour. I hit the record button, I said, let's try to keep this to 30 minutes. And it went, as always, well beyond that. But I think it's a great conversation. It's worth a listen, and I think you guys will enjoy it. We really cover a lot of ground, and he brought up some things that I never thought of, and possible big returns, and yes, we cover Ronda Rousey's potential departure, early departure from WWE as well. Does that have any merit to it? Well, you'll listen, and maybe you'll get some information and make your own decision. But I think that this is one of the best podcasts I've done in a while, and it's always fun having guests on the show. So before I continue, again, this is the WWE Podcast, so thank you for joining me. And this is a bi-weekly show. My What If segment will be coming later this week, and so stay tuned for that. Again, that will be only on my patreon.com/WWE podcast feed. So if you're looking for it on Spreaker, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, where you can find this, the show, you will not see the What If segment on that as well. And last week I did feel a little generous and give you guys a bonus episode of the What If segment. So those of you that are listening to the feed and you heard it, well, that is a gift from me to you. So thank you guys again for joining me. If you would like to check out patreon.com/WWE podcast, you can do so, where it's only for a dollar. You guys can get into the show, and you'll be able to have access to, I think I have 40 plus episodes, exclusive content, ad-free stuff. It's really, I believe, worth the dollar, I promise. So also, I want to recently thank the latest patrons of the show, and that's Tony Siak. So if I mispronounce that, I apologize to Tony. I want to thank you, though, for your patronism, patronism? I think patronism is the best way, not patriotism. That's a much different thing. So thank you. And obviously, Christopher William, thank you as well. I want to give you guys both a shout out. And as always, Amy Dalton, who became a Hall of Fame status on the show. And we will be bringing her on for a show down the line of a topic that she is choosing. And I really encourage you guys to stay tuned for that. I'm excited about the topic she chose, and we will be recording that in the coming weeks. So thank you to all of you who have pledged and become patrons of the show. I'm thinking about doing video as well. For those of you who are patrons of the show only, I'm working on getting a video feed for the show and doing video podcasts as well and instant reactions after pay-per-views and things like that. Right now, my laptop is not the best, so I'm looking at upgrading that. And once I do, I will be adding video to the Patreon.com feed for those of you who are patrons of the show. So anyway, guys, this is about Royal Rumble season. I'm not going to make you wait any longer. This is one of the longest podcasts that I've had in I can't tell you how long, but it's worth a listen. It's awesome because when you have somebody you can bounce off of and talk intelligently about wrestling, you get lost in time, right? You forget how long you're talking, and you just can go on tangents for hours. And this is one of those deals. So definitely take a listen from start to finish and give me some feedback on the show. I'd like to hear what you guys think. And I'm always looking to bring people on them. I'm also doing another show this Monday with a returning co-host to give a Royal Rumble reaction. And if you guys have listened to my show previously, Ashley, who was on the show a number of weeks ago, it will be coming back Monday for a Royal Rumble reaction to the show. And so stay tuned for that. Lots of good stuff coming up, guys. I'm ramping up bringing people on. I'm ramping up maybe the number of shows I do every week. And obviously with the video feed coming in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm looking at getting a new piece of hardware. As I said, this one is... I'm surprised I'm even able to honestly record this and have it be decent quality. So, all right, guys, enough of the chat. Let's get into the conversation with Matt. And you guys can definitely let me know what you think. Everybody, enjoy the Rumble. I'll see you Monday. Okay, guys, welcome back. And right now I have a special guest. His name is Matt Degnan. And we actually connected over Twitter. He's got his own podcast, and I'm excited to have him here on the show today because we're going to cover the Royal Rumble. We're going to go over our predictions and also a little bit about himself and how he got into wrestling and a little bit about his podcast. So without further ado, Matt, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? Excited to be on another podcast, another day of talking wrestling. I'm ready to get started.
Yeah, no, and you and I were talking before I hit the record button, and, you know, we try to not go too long with some of these shows, but, man, when you have a card like this at the Royal Rumble and you have so many matches, it's going to be one of those marathon shows, and it's going to be difficult to keep things in perspective and not go, you know, 4 hours on this show. But so before we get into the Rumble, though, I want to just give the listeners here a little bit of background on you. You know, how did you get into wrestling, and what's a little bit about the podcast you do?
So I got into wrestling about 2008. I was in a third grade. I'm 18 right now. I mean, if you believe it or not, but I am 18, close to 19. And in 2008, everything just started with all my friends. Oh, do you watch this? Do you watch that? And I was just overhearing their conversations about John Cena, Batista, etc., The Undertaker, Edge. I was kind of like, what are you guys talking about? So my friend goes, oh, I'll show you. And he shows me. I'm like, he brought in all his action figures to class, his posters and stuff like that. And I actually started watching at his house. A couple days later, we watched Monday Night Raw, and I was hooked. And just seeing the crowd get excited, seeing the crowd just come alive for, I thought it was real at the time. We all thought it was real. We can all admit it. And I thought it was great, just the atmosphere, and I always wanted to go. I kept nagging my parents, we have to go, we have to go. And then as soon as we stepped into that arena for the first event, I think in 2009, that's when I really got hooked, started watching it every single week, and it just picked up from there. And then I ended up, in 2017, I started writing for Bodyslam.net, and that's where my journalism career kind of took off. Now I am with Fightful.com. As a writer there, I work at ESPN and NBC Sports on the sports side of it. I host two weekly podcasts. I host the Mario Chaos and the Kid podcast, which is on Tuesdays. And on Fridays, I have the Open Table Sports podcast. So, I mean, from overhearing kids in a third grade class to now hosting weekly podcasts about sports and wrestling, it is kind of, it's a little bit funny to me.
And it's funny you mentioned that we all thought it was real to begin with, and that's what hooks us. And yet, at the same time, even as we know that what we're seeing isn't necessarily, I guess, I hate using the word real, but for lack of a better term, what we're seeing is not true competition. It still hooks us, even when we know that what we're seeing is not true competition. And
Because I call it stage, not fake.
Yes.
Because movies, they're not fake, they're staged. So that's why I don't use the word fake when it comes to wrestling. I use the word staged because people do get injured. Look at Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, John Cena, Rey Mysterio, Edge, Paige. Look at all these guys. Hulk Hogan, he could barely bend his knees. He's like a board.
Yeah, it's the truth. And I always tell people, if you, and as a wrestling fan, at some point in your life, you're going to get ripped on by people who are not wrestling fans saying, oh, you like that fake stuff and all that. And all I say, and this seems to end the conversation point blank, is do you think any movie or TV show that you've watched isn't staged in some way? I mean, every movie ever created ever has been staged in some way, and it's all entertainment. So that seems to end the conversation pretty quickly. And this is the part that still continues to grab me. And I'm 34 years old, well, almost 34. And I've been watching wrestling since 1997 with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at Hell in a Cell. It was the very first memory I have of wrestling. And that's what grabbed me, and I had a real emotion towards the competitors in the match. And even now at 33, almost 34 years old, I am still grabbed by the emotions of a match, even when I know that what I'm seeing isn't actually real competition. What grabs me is the emotion and of the characters. And sometimes WWE fails at providing that real emotion, but that's what continues to bring you back, is getting emotionally invested in the product.
That's what really caught my attention, was the crowd coming to life. Even just the parents that bring their kids, they get excited. And what bigger event do people pop out of their seats? It's for the Royal Rumble. And that's what's coming up in a couple days, because what happens when that countdown starts going from 10, people stand up, people count down. Whoever comes out, people are still excited because they don't know who's coming out. Could be The Undertaker, could be Jey Uso. They don't know.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what keeps this business unpredictable.
Yes, and it is easily the most unpredictable pay-per-view, I think, of the entire year. I mean, you can make an argument of that. And this year is no exception. There are some matches that seem like they're a lock. But to be honest, there's a lot of matches that are open-ended, including some major title matches. And one of Brock Lesnar, the Universal Championship match with Finn Balor. I mean, we're going to talk about that. But to me, that one is not as set in stone as some people may think. So we're going to get to all that as well. Matt, once again, welcome to the show. And let's just get into it. Let's get into the Royal Rumble, because this is a stacked card. It's in Phoenix, and they're trying to sell, I believe, about 40,000 seats. I don't know if they have or not. So let's just start at the top of the card here. I don't want to make people wait. There's so much to get to. Let's start with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. So, yes, give us your prediction, but what are you expecting from this match beyond who you believe will be victorious?
I got to tell you, I'm not really excited for this one because we've seen it before a couple times. I think it's very forced. They could have done something a little bit fresher. I wish the match was Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan, but with WWE, you know, you can't get everything you want. But here you have to go Daniel Bryan retaining, who he faces at WrestleMania. Because the thing always is at the Royal Rumble is, even though WrestleMania is months away, the first question people ask is, who's he going to face at WrestleMania? But I think Daniel Bryan does retain, because Styles isn't going to get his title back this soon. And they're really running with this Daniel Bryan fickle, and he's about the earth type of thing. They're putting a lot of effort into him. And also, Daniel Bryan being out for 4 years, they're not going to have his first title run back be 2 months or 3 months. They're going to have him run through WrestleMania, I think, with it.
I'm going to echo you on that. And this is one of, I think, out of the card, maybe the most predictable out of all of the matches on the card. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes people think predictability in wrestling is bad. I don't think it's bad when it makes sense. And in this case, Daniel Bryan retaining makes absolute sense. Do I think it's going to be a clean victory? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, he's a heel now, so there could be some kind of shenanigans, maybe a low blow thrown in there, a referee, not seeing a rake of the eyes, something along those lines, and I'm fine with it. I expect a high-quality match. I don't expect it to be match of the year, but with these two pros who are veterans of the squared circle, I'd expect nothing less than at least a B+ performance from both guys. And there's rumors of AJ Styles wanting to spend more time with his family, so that plays into it. And we've seen AJ Styles as WWE champion. We saw him for a year be WWE champion. As you just said, there's no need to go back to that right now. Daniel Bryan just turned heel, and you need him to gain some momentum, and you can't do that if he loses to AJ Styles here. It just makes absolutely no sense to trade the belt back to AJ, and AJ may win the match, so you got to be careful of the wording here, but it could be by disqualification. But ultimately, Daniel Bryan retains. It's the only outcome, at least in my estimation.
And also, Styles, he signed a new 3-year deal in the fall, and he's taking a less heavier schedule in the next couple years. So in 3 years, he might be doing about a year's work because he does want to take time with his family. But also, who knows if Daniel Bryan does hold that title till WrestleMania, because you still have Elimination Chamber and we still have Fastlane. And another fact about AJ Styles with the Rumble in this title is this is his fourth year in a row being in the WWE Championship match at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, this to me, I mean, you're all right on this, and I just don't see how WWE could get away with booking-wise putting the belt back on AJ. As good as he is, as over as he is, it's just WWE Championship AJ Styles has run its course, at least in the last, for the next few months, 6 months even. If he just signed a new extension, I could absolutely see him becoming champion again someday. But this is not the time. And as you just said, we have Elimination Chamber, we have Fastlane, and people often overlook those. I mean, I sometimes need to step myself back and go, oh yeah, there's the Rumble. It's not just Rumble to Mania. It's Rumble to Pit Stop WrestleMania.
That's why I said before, people always ask that question is, who are they going to face at WrestleMania? It's like, watch out, because Cena a couple years ago, he won at the Rumble and beat Styles, but then he lost at Elimination Chamber to when Bray Wyatt became champion, and then Orton won the Rumble. So you kind of got to slow down on that with people saying stuff like that.
And as you just said, too, the quick note about Samoa Joe. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I have no idea how Samoa Joe has not had a WWE Championship run yet. It's almost a crime. So I would expect it. I mean, we got hints of WWE giving him a bit of a push, or at least some kind of momentum for his character this past week on SmackDown Live, although I think with the RKO out of nowhere at the very end of the show, that had a little bit of cold water poured on it. But nonetheless, to me, it's a crime that Samoa Joe has not had a run yet. He, to me, is one of the, I think, maybe final couple heels, true heels, in the WWE today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really call it a push unless they get a title, because how can you consider yourself being pushed if you're not holding a title? Because technically, to be pushed, you got to have a belt. Because if you're being pushed and you're beating non-champions, I mean, it's not really getting a push.
Well, I will say this. It's maybe they were giving hints of laying a foundation for a push instead of, I mean, again, it's 1 week. Then we've seen WWE bury him the following couple of weeks. But it's at least encouraging that this time of year, you're starting to see a little bit of something for his character, other than just treading water with Jeff Hardy or whatever he's been doing the last few months. But nonetheless, let's move on to Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. This United States Championship match, I'll take the first shot at this. Now, I don't really have a strong feeling on this. to me, it's almost too little too late for Rusev. If they had pulled the trigger on Rusev being a champion and a long-term champion a number of years ago when the crowd was wanting to see that babyface Rusev, and that then they didn't pull the trigger on it then, now it seems kind of like, well, we're into Rusev. We like Lana, but this is kind of an act we've seen for 4 years now. Now, do I think these guys will have a good match? I think they will. Both guys are, I think, very fundamentally sound, but that's really, to me, not the issue here. I think this is a very predictable outcome. I think Rusev retains. Just because of the old logic booking that, well, we just gave the belt to Rusev. Why are we switching it back to Shinsuke? Who needs it more? And right now, Rusev needs it more. I mean, not to boil it down to that simplistic level, but it's true. And the Rusev Day thing, I think, as clever as it was and unexpected as it was, seems to also be wearing its welcome out a little bit, at least in my eyes, in terms of the promos that always end in Rusev Day. I think he needs something else to add to his character to keep things fresh. Right now, the Rusev Day is starting to be a little bit stale. And but as far as this match goes, I expect maybe a solid match, but to me, Rusev retains. And this is another one of the few locks for me at the Royal Rumble.
I think it's going to be Rusev as well. Same thing as you said, with Nakamura getting the title back early. I don't think that who Rusev faces at WrestleMania, if he does, that's another question. But about 90% of the time, if you win at the Rumble and still have your belt, you're most likely going to be champion at WrestleMania. But the major question about this match is how many people are going to be watching it, is because it's on the kickoff show. And WWE has had problems in the past with the kickoff show matches getting not that many people in the building. But this is the first time WWE is going to be running in this venue at Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona. So I think there's going to be a lot of people wanting to get in there early to see the set, see the stadium and whatsoever. But Rusev winning is just too obvious again, just as a lock, in my opinion. Who he faces at WrestleMania, I would love to see Rusev and Samoa Joe go at it. Maybe we see a ladder match for the United States Championship. I think that, because there's so many mid-carders on the SmackDown roster, that you could put in a ladder match at WrestleMania. You could put Rey Mysterio, Almas, Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, Rusev. You could put on a nice ladder match with those guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And they seem to do that, at least in the Intercontinental Championship picture. And this is the equivalent of the IC belt as the U.S. title on SmackDown. And I wouldn't have a problem with that. There's always some kind of multi-man match for these mid-tier belts. And like you said, it would be, I think, a very serviceable match. One of the dark horse matches that could steal the show if done right and given enough time. But yeah, I mean, as you just said too, they're putting it on the pre-show, which I have mixed feelings about, because it's the pre-show and it's the United States Championship and it's Shinsuke Nakamura, the guy that won the Royal Rumble last year, is on the pre-show this year. And that part doesn't sit well with me. The only part that I can accept is the fact that you just noted, well, they're trying to get butts in seats before the show starts, the real show starts. But we all saw what happened in the pre-show for the Survivor Series. The pre-show for the Survivor Series didn't count, as we all know about the clean sweep of Raw. Even though SmackDown won the pre-show, we all just are supposed to forget that part. So, yeah, I have no ill will towards either man. I don't have a strong connection with either character at this point, and I think that's what's missing. There's no real story here.
Because WWE never puts these two on TV. Even when Nakamura was doing his thing with Styles last year, they didn't get that great of booking. And also with Rusev, they're not going to obviously pay much attention because they have Bryan and Styles, which they've been wanting to do for years. But now that Bryan's canceled, they're going to squeeze this out until it dies. So, I mean, them on the pre-show, you kind of have to look at it as what other match on the card could have went to the pre-show. That's kind of how you got to look at it, is this is probably the match that was most likely going to be on it. I mean, it sucks that it comes down to that, but I don't. I just don't know why they have a pre-show. Make it an hour pre-show, and you don't have to put any matches on it. I just don't know why there has to be a two-hour pre-show, and you have to put two matches. If anything, put a non-title match on there with a smaller feud, like the Club versus Sanity or something like that. But then people will get mad that those two are on it. But don't put a title. You have two title matches on the kickoff show.
Yeah, it's I don't know why they do it. As you just said, I would not care if they eliminate the pre-show altogether, because we've just it being on the pre-show automatically defines down whatever that match is. I mean, it could really be any match, really. I mean, within reason, and that match would instantly be defined down that it's on the pre-show. So it's on the show before the show. So it doesn't really deserve to be on the main show. It just has that automatic defining down of that the placement of that match and how WWE views that particular feud or belt. So, well, speaking of championship matches, the Cruiserweight Championship match. Buddy Murphy, Akira Tozawa, Kalisto, Hideo Itami. I don't have a ton to say on this, so I'll throw it to you, and then I'll give you what I think.
I think Buddy Murphy's going to win. Another thing of they're not going to take the title belt off him already, even though he won it in, I think, October. So, I mean, they're just not going to take him off. He's hot right now. I don't think it's going to be Akira Tozawa. He doesn't have too much to him, like, movement-wise. Also, they're not going to give it to Kalisto because they're doing that whole thing with them on Raw, the Lucha House Party, which is utterly stupid. What I think they should have done was put the belt on Leo Rush. I would have had Leo Rush versus Buddy Murphy on the kickoff show, and then you have Bobby Lashley's Intercontinental Championship and Leo Rush with the Cruiserweight Championship. Now, that would have gotten eyes on 205 Live, and also would have made their duo a lot better.
It's funny. I was going to say very similar things that you just did as far as Leo Rush, who, yeah, I think he's doing a good job as the manager of Bobby Lashley. And he's toned down some of the things that were not just heel heat, but go away heat. I mean, change the channel heat. And I think that Bobby Lashley's coming into his own, and not getting off track. But yes, as far as putting the belt on Leo Rush, to me, it would have made more sense. And getting exposure for 205 Live here, I think, is why this match is important. Not so much who wins, and that's kind of a weird thing to say. I think Buddy Murphy retains, but to me, it's exposure for 205 Live, which it desperately needs. I mean, in the worst way, where you have people who go to these WWE events and go, 205, what does 205 mean? Why? What's 205? And you have to explain, well, that's the weight limit for this cruiserweight class, right? So this needs exposure. It needs, and as you just said, the way that they could have done it is put it on Leo Rush, and then you have some brand exposure of not just that belt, but the whole division. And furthermore, I think that WWE should have some kind of weekly recap every single Monday Night Raw of what's going on in 205 Live. Because occasionally you'll get, oh, well, you'll see Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa, but you don't hear the backstory. So in other words, you're not emotionally engaged. You don't care. I mean, it's just kind of like wrestler X facing X or Y, or wrestler Y. Well, I mean, there's nothing there. It's just kind of two guys that you know are going to get a lot of flip-flop and all that kind of stuff, and that's cool, but to me it doesn't grab me, and that's the problem with 205 Live. Is there's a whole bunch of guys that just feel they're all on the same level, and there's no hierarchy, and there's just nothing for me to get to grab onto. And that's why, unfortunately, I don't like to say it, but this match, I don't have a lot there. It might be the match that I'll watch, but I might take that bathroom break in the middle of it. I hate to say that because I respect all these guys and I think they are great performers, but I don't feel anything there. And nor should I, because of the time that WWE has put in the cruiserweight division.
That'd be a pretty quick bathroom break right in the beginning of the kickoff show. But I have Buddy Murphy. Kalisto, I don't think, because he's with the Lucha House Party. They're doing a thing on Raw. Akira Tozawa doesn't have momentum to do it. I mean, my other pick, if Buddy Murphy wasn't to win, I'd say Hideo Itami, because they haven't done anything with him, really. But that's pretty – I just can't – it's either Buddy Murphy, which is obvious, or if I had to pick a second person, it'd be a Tommy.
Yeah, yeah. That's really the only two. But as you just said, I think it's about a 75-25 chance of Buddy Murphy retaining. As you just said, if it's not a Tommy, I don't know what they're doing. It can't be Tozawa or Kalisto. It just can't. Unless the WWE – and sometimes they do. Sometimes, as you've seen, even at WrestleMania, when Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental Championship a few years ago, WWE sometimes just like to go off on those tangents just to add shock value. But to me, I don't like shock value with nothing behind it.
I probably talked about that every day of the week for the past 3 years with the whole Ryder thing. They had him win it at WrestleMania, and then he loses it the next night to The Miz.
Yeah.
That was terrible. I felt so bad for him.
I did too, and it just, unfortunately, it felt so disrespectful towards not just Zack Ryder himself, but towards the fans. It was almost an insult to our intelligence, or just kind of a slap in the face of, you think you're going to get the guy that you guys created on YouTube and the guy that you supported, and he became a star because you guys said he was cool because of all the shows he did on YouTube, and okay, we'll give you his moment in the sun and then immediately pull the rug out from underneath him. It was... I don't know what they were thinking. Why bother? And especially at WrestleMania, on the biggest stage WWE has all year, to give this guy the Intercontinental Championship. The crowd popped like crazy, I think in part due to the fact of surprise, and in part due to the fact that they actually felt a connection with the guy because they've been watching him for so long with his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. And also, the way they set it up was perfect. Miz at the top of the ladder. Looks like he's just about to get it. Ryder pops up on the other side of the ring, coming out of nowhere, pushes him off, and Ryder looks so surprised with the title, like he almost shocked himself. And then his dad came into the ring, they were hugging, and then he loses it the next night. And that was his first title in, what, like 4 years since he had the U.S. title in, like, 2012 or something?
Yep.
So it just, WWE shook our hand, but punched us in the face at the same time with that.
It's exactly what it was. Now I'm getting heated. I got to move on. The Bar versus Shane McMahon and The Miz for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. I'll take the quick lead on this. Man, I'll give you my prediction, but I got more than just a prediction to say here. So I think that Shane and The Miz actually capture the belts here. And before this whole shakeup, before this whole fresh start happened, and at least the McMahons announced it, and that's a whole podcast in and of itself, whether or not that was actually, at least if it's being implemented correctly, Shane McMahon, to me, should just turn heel. And I have read all through, the internet dirt sheets and all that, but that Shane McMahon was going to be turning heel up until the ratings tank and Vince McMahon, quote, shook things up and all that. But to me, Shane McMahon is a heel. I mean, he's a commissioner that is the son of the promoter who feels entitled because he's the son of the promoter that gets these high profile matches every WrestleMania. AJ Styles goes toe to toe with AJ Styles. He goes toe to toe with the Undertaker at Hell in a Cell and he holds his own. Are you kidding me? One of the best of all time, if not the best of all time
They portrayed that match as he took Undertaker to his limit, because if you remember how the match ended was Shane going, come on, give me more. Like, really? Who has ever said that to the Undertaker?
Right, and we're supposed to believe this guy that gets to play in the sandbox a few days out of the year and do his coast-to-coast and jumping off of the roof of the building. I mean, this I like Shane McMahon, and I popped like crazy when he returned with that Vincent Kennedy McMahon Award ceremony that was, 3 years ago now or whatever it was, and that was great, and I think it was awesome. But the problem that I have with this whole thing is Shane McMahon is, a 50-year-old guy that we're all supposed to believe can go toe-to-toe with these world-class athletes at any time. He inserts himself into the best-in-the-world tournament at the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, which was obviously a complete disaster and a black eye for the company. He gets these high-profile matches at WrestleMania. He inserts himself year after year into the SmackDown Survivor Series team and is usually one of the last few competitors in the match. And then he inserts himself here into the tag team championship match. And I will bet you anything that they win the belts here. So I really want to just have Shane turn heel because all of his actions scream heel.
My prediction is them winning as well, because there's no way you're putting Miz and Shane together just to lose and build them up, getting beat up on SmackDown and stuff like that. They're primed to win. How long they hold the titles, that's the bigger question. Do they go to WrestleMania? Do they have a huge profile match? I don't think so. I think they're just going to stick them in the middle of the card. Maybe Miz and... who knows who they're going to face at WrestleMania? Because there's no way they're going to have them win at Royal Rumble and lose at Elimination Chamber or Fastlane. You know, if they're winning Sunday, which they're most likely are, you know they're not losing it in a month or two. They're going to keep those belts till WrestleMania.
They very well could. The only, and that's my, I really don't have WrestleMania predictions yet, as we just alluded to. There's multiple pay-per-views between now and then. However, like you just said, if they put the belts on Miz and Shane on Sunday, that would be a really quick turnaround to have them drop it to either the rematch with the Bar or another team in the next couple of months before Mania. The only other option I could see is they win the belts and then they end up losing them to maybe the Bar at the next pay-per-view. The Miz gets angry with Shane. Miz turns full out heel and attack Shane, and then we get Shane versus The Miz at WrestleMania. I mean, maybe that could happen after.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only option I see here. But I think a shakeup of the tag team belts is needed right now because as good as The Bar are inside of the ring, I think that their act is getting a little stale, at least in their entrance. They don't have a whole lot of promo time. They don't have a whole lot added to their act week after week. It's just the same. You know you're going to get a very solid match. But they need something new there. They need something added or changed.
I think the only way we get Shane and Miz at WrestleMania is Shane turning heel, because everyone's wanted to see Miz face for so many years. He's probably the only guy in WWE that has never turned face in all these years he's been in the WWE. Just think when he was with even Morrison, they were more of a heel tag team. Well, I can't even think of another wrestler who's been heel for that long of time and never has turned face.
The only thing, you might be right. Now, you're right, since he's become a wrestler, an official full-time guy on the roster, I think you're right. I do remember when he was hosting SmackDown, when he was just starting out.
When he was just starting out, they just gave him a microphone because he was on a reality TV show.
Yep.
And, you know, WWE likes to do that stuff anyway, promoting all these reality TV shows, getting money from it.
Yep. So, I mean, look, The Miz, you just may be right. I didn't even think about that either, where The Miz could actually be the babyface in this feud. And that would be an interesting dynamic, I think. But then you'd have another heel, McMahon, running a show that I think the McMahons want to keep the babyface persona, even Stephanie, and keep the good graces of the fans that, okay, at least they're trying to play the good guys on TV, even though if you look at Stephanie McMahon's Twitter profile, she says she plays a bad guy on TV. Don't even get me started there. But that may be the case. I could see one of them turning on the other. If not, as we just said at the very beginning of the conversation, it could very well be just Shane and The Miz defending their tag team belts against another tag team at WrestleMania. But let's move on here to Asuka versus Becky Lynch. We're going to get into the good stuff and the things that I think are not as predictable as some may think they are. And so I will start with Asuka and Becky Lynch. To be honest with you, I'll say Asuka, I think, retains. And the reason I think she retains, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but for events that will occur later in the night, and we'll get there. But I think Asuka, again, for the same reason that the United States Championship is remaining on Rusev, I believe that Asuka is going to keep the belt. For first and foremost, she just won it. And the fans have believed in her even when booking didn't, even when management didn't. She was continuing to get star reactions when the program she was in didn't elicit that. It wasn't deserving of the program she was in. The fans were still behind her. And to really just pull that from Asuka now, I don't think makes sense. And the ultimate reason beyond the fact that she just got the belt is one name and one name only, and that's Ronda Rousey waiting in the wings for Becky Lynch. So I know it's hard not to tie in the Women's Royal Rumble match to this, but what are your thoughts on this match?
I think Asuka retains. That's popular pick between the fans. I do think Becky's going to go on to the Rumble, but I'll give my prediction on the Women's Rumble a little bit later. I don't want to spoil that because I think it's going to be an interesting ending, but I think Asuka does retain to send Becky to the Rumble later in the night. It will be interesting because say they have the Women's Rumble before the Women's Championship match. So also depends on when they're doing the Rumble matches, when they're doing this, when they're doing that. Because say Brock loses the title but wins the Rumble. So there are multiple things can happen with where they put different matches in the card. But I think Asuka does win, sending Becky to the Rumble.
I think we're echoing each other here on this one. Could I see a scenario where Becky wins? Yeah, I could. The only problem with that would be where and how do you fit it into Ronda Rousey? I mean, because could you have her just attack Ronda Rousey on Raw? Sure. And have them have an interpromotional match. The problem then becomes, well, you can't have a champion versus championship match with the belt not on the line. So unless you're going to merge the titles, which they're not going to do, I just don't see a scenario in which they can both be champion at WrestleMania and have it be a champion versus champion match and have it make sense. So that's the only drawback. And to me, I don't want to say lock, but this is a very strong feeling and very confident that Asuka retains here. The only question is how she retains, because Becky Lynch is the story of 2018 and starting into 2019 now. She is and was the hottest thing in wrestling, unbelievably and unexpectedly, for the second half of 2018, since she, quote, turned heel at SummerSlam and attacked Charlotte after her loss. So, to me,
people keep talking about, like, Becky attacking Ronda. Maybe we see Ronda attack Becky in her match. Maybe Ronda's match happens earlier in the night. Maybe she loses the title. A little bit of a mix-up in that match. She gets mad. Asuka and Becky are later in the night. She attacks Becky. And maybe their match at WrestleMania isn't even for the title.
And it very well could. You know, the thing is, there's a lot of different ways they can go here.
That's what, because say it wasn't at the Rumble. Say it was at SummerSlam. We wouldn't even be talking about all these scenarios because the Rumble wouldn't even give us that route of, oh, this is how they could face each other. Because if it happened at another pay-per-view, we wouldn't even be talking about all these scenarios. That's the crazy thing about how just the match that Becky isn't even confirmed for, we're talking about her in. That's just the crazy thing about the Rumble and how it makes everything just a little bit more crazy.
It really does, but not in a bad way. Like, I'm fine with this.
Oh, I love that. I love having the multiple avenues.
Yes. I think whatever road they take, whatever exit they get off of on that highway, however they get there, the ultimate goal is Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. I mean, it would just make no sense otherwise. I know there's been talk of Charlotte getting herself into that to make it a three-way. I think that's a huge mistake. It is about Ronda. It is about Becky and only those two. At least in my opinion, it should only be one-on-one. As good as that match would be from a in-ring perspective and crazy near falls and all of that. And to me, adding Charlotte would be subtracting from the match. And that's no disrespect to Charlotte. It's just that these two women are in a collision course that has to end in the main event of WrestleMania.
Also, another thing I could see is Charlotte winning the Rumble. She goes to face Asuka. Ronda retains. But then at Elimination Chamber, they have the six-woman Elimination Chamber match. But the winner of that gets to face like a champion of their choosing, or they get to face the other champion that the Royal Rumble winner doesn't face, or something like that. Like maybe Becky picks, maybe Charlotte wins the Rumble, and then Becky enters the Elimination Chamber. So there's just so many things that could happen. It's just crazy. That's why I love this season, because everything gets to end at WrestleMania, and I'll be at WrestleMania, which is the great thing. So that's makes everything 10 times better for me because I get to see all of this culminate at MetLife Stadium.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm working on getting myself there too. I've got an 8-month-old kid here, so it's hard to navigate around that. However, as you just alluded to, there are so many ways, and now you're making my head hurt thinking about the two pay-per-views in between. It's just, there's so many cool things.
Because people don't put that into perspective. People just think, oh, if they win at Rumble, they're going to do that. It's like, you got to look at past years. Look at when Jericho, multiple years ago, he won the Rumble. He won, or not the Rumble, the Elimination Chamber, and he won the World Heavyweight Championship going into WrestleMania. No one would have thought that. No one thought Jericho was going to win. And that's what set up Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. So even Chris Jericho had nothing to do with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, but somehow Shawn Michaels got involved in the Elimination Chamber match. Remember, he super kicked.
Yep, he came up from underneath the ring. Yep.
Yeah, he came up. Who would have thought Shawn Michaels was going to come in? And that was at Elimination Chamber, and we're not even there yet. So that's what just makes everything just one huge storm right now. But it'll all come clear on Monday night.
Yes, and that is so true that even if we don't get what we want, that all the fans want, or Vince McMahon says one year that when Daniel Bryan got eliminated or wasn't in the Royal Rumble, that the fans didn't get what they wanted, Santa Claus didn't come this year for them or whatever, that could very well be the case here where we all think it's going to be Becky winning maybe the Royal Rumble and Ronda retaining, which I think most people are thinking, and we'll get to that match in just a second. But as you just said, like, they could throw a curveball, but ultimately end up in the same destination, which I would not be surprised if they do. We can't just look at the Rumble as a lock of, oh, this is how they're going. This is what WrestleMania is going to be. We have no idea. WrestleMania is not for another, what, 3 months? No, I'm sorry, 2 months, two, a little over 2 months away. That's a lot of TV. There's two pay-per-views thrown in, so I'm not going to get, you know, freak out over something that I see at the Rumble until I see the future pay-per-views and the follow-up to the Rumble. So, as I just kind of alluded to and buried the lead here, Ronda Rousey and Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's Championship. This is one of the three locks that I have for the Royal Rumble matchups here, and that is Ronda Rousey retaining. I just don't see any other way. Is there a very, very small chance that Ronda Rousey loses to Sasha? Maybe. But to me, Ronda's undefeated. She has not been pinned or submitted in WWE to date. And the Royal Rumble's not the time to have that streak get snapped. And you want Ronda being as strong as possible going into WrestleMania. You have to. This would not be the best time. It would make zero sense from a business perspective, from a storyline perspective, to have Sasha beat her, even by hook or crook. Obviously, clean is not going to happen. So Ronda Rousey taps out Sasha. And obviously, there's also rumors, as I just kind of looked at some of the news feeds, of Ronda leaving after WrestleMania this year, even though she signed a multi-year deal. She's looking to have a family and all. I don't know if there's any truth to that.
No, I can clear that up here. But she's not leaving for good. She's taking time off until Survivor Series because she does want to start a family and spend time with her family. So the Observer got that a little bit twisted. Instead of her leaving for good, she's just leaving for a little bit. The weird thing is coming back during Survivor Series. And what happens during Survivor Series? Survivor Series matches. And what do people want to see? 4 versus 4. Mm. So who knows what's going to happen there. But the reason why I'm locking Ronda Rousey in is those shiny white belts at the Elimination Chamber for Bayley and Sasha. Mm. That's all I'm looking. Because who else is going to win those tag titles first? The Iconics? Nope. Tamina and Nia? Nope. It's going to be Sasha and Bayley. Even when the rumors came out of those titles just being talked about, people were like, it's going to be Bayley and Sasha. So, I mean, that's the only thing, not the only thing, but that's the major thing that's having me say it's going to be Ronda.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think of that either, is that the Raw Women's Champion, Raw Tag Team Championship. And so, I the only thing, too, like, I don't know if you caught wind of this, is when we saw those, we want women's tag team championship signs in the audience, those were plants by WWE. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to fake a fan movement and all that nonsense, which is just such a corporate move, it makes me sick. But the only other thing, too, if she's taking time off, that makes a little more sense to me. and not just leaving for good. She really, I'll be honest with you, I had really low expectations of Ronda Rousey making the transition from MMA to WWE. I mean, that's as awesome of an athlete as she is and a badass as she was in MMA and UFC. She, you know, making that transition is not always a guarantee. She blew away everyone last year at WrestleMania with her match with Triple H and Stephanie, and Kurt Angle as her tag team partner. I mean, I was blown away. I was shocked by how good she was in such a short amount of time that she had to prepare and make that transition fully. And so if she's going to take time off, if you're saying from April till November, then hey, I think I understand wanting to make a family, spending time with your family, all that makes sense. She's in that age where she might look at it as now or never, and that's cool. But the only other thing too that I would like to see at some point in her however multi-year deal that she has signed with WWE is her making a heel run, because there's going to be a time where Ronda Rousey looks around and goes, I've beaten everyone here there is to beat. I mean, as far as the heels go, at some point, and I hope we see it, is turning Ronda heel. Do I think it'll happen in 2019? No, maybe we'll be having this conversation next year, but she could be a hell of a heel coming in with that attitude saying, I've beat everyone here. There's no competition left for me. So maybe that's something we talk about come Survivor Series next year.
I think that would be perfect time for a debut. Her coming out saying, I've beaten everyone here, coming out like a year from now or 6 months, whatever it may, 9 months, having her come out and then maybe debut another UFC star. Maybe they secretly sign like Holly Holm or something like that. Like, I've beaten everyone here, whatever, whatever. Holly Holm comes out. She says, well, I've beaten you before. That'd be a perfect way to debut like a new, like maybe Bianca Belair months from now.
It really that, would, yeah, yeah.
That's a perfect time to debut someone. Ronda comes back. She says she's beaten everyone here, that she needed to take time off for a holiday. And then someone else comes out and says, well, you haven't beaten me yet. Boom, that's fresh stuff right there. But, of course, WWE, they're going to bring Ronda back and have her face like Dana Brooke or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if me and you were booking this stuff, we'd be packing the arenas. But WWE is... they got, you know, their head up their you-know-what, and they don't know what they're doing. But they're taking baby steps to get in the place where they want to be.
And I think time away will, I think, anytime you leave, it makes the fans miss you, even if you're a heel. And the best example I have of this is Triple H left as a hot heel in 2001 after he had his, basically his quad torn off of his leg. And he comes out, leaves as a hot heel. He leaves for, what, 8-9 months, and the fans, he comes back, and the fans gave him the biggest pop you've ever heard in Madison Square Garden in 2002. And so, in this case, you have Ronda Rousey. She's still a babyface, and I get that, but she's competing on Raw on a weekly basis. I mean, this is an MMA star that I don't want her on the Brock Lesnar schedule of an absentee champion, but at the same time, I think maybe they're overexposing Ronda a little bit. And not, it doesn't feel as special anymore when she gets in the ring. She's starting to blend in to the just another woman. She's champion and she's special, but she's starting to lose a little bit of that luster because she's competing almost every week. And her promos are a little bit awkward, but they feel real to me, which is a plus. And I think that time away from April till November, again, if this all happens, and this is a big if right now, but that makes sense to me, I think it'll make the fans miss her. It's the old adage of what, like, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think that's the case here if Ronda leaves for a good 6 months or whatever it is. So let's move along here. Brock and Finn Balor for the Universal Championship. Now, I'll toss this one to you first. I was gonna say some things, but I'll give you the first go on this one.
This is basically, well, besides obviously the Rumble matches, this is one I'm just torn on. This is one where they're saying Balor can't win, Balor can't win. It kind of reminds me of the Daniel Bryan storyline from 2014, where they made it so obvious that he was winning that championship at the Superdome in New Orleans in 2014. So I don't know if they're making it too obvious that Balor's going to win, or they're downplaying him so when he loses, it's not as bad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, are they telling him he can't win all these times to kind of tell say to the crowd he's obviously not going to win? Or are they telling the crowd he's not going to win to make it even more shocking and a better storyline? So, I mean, this one I'm really 50-50 on. If you told me that, you know, I had to pick right now, you got to say Brock. I don't know. You just can't have Balor win when he came out of nowhere, basically. He hasn't had that many major matches in the past couple months. He hasn't held a title since 2016. He hasn't been any title pictures. Even when he was in the Intercontinental Championship picture, he wasn't favored to win that title at any point in that storyline. So he was kind of just thrown in to be the third person in the Miz and Seth Rollins feud to make it fresh. So, I mean, he's never really been in anything crazy since 2016. So are they really going to do that to Brock Lesnar?
The fact that we're having this conversation of being so torn, I think, is a credit to WWE making us really think about this one. And I give credit where credit's due. As often as I will tear down creative's decisions, I think this one, the fact that we're just unsure is a good thing. Because, you know, you always just say, well, it's Brock. I mean, Brock's got to win. But does he have to? I mean, they took Finn, who was the, as you just said, the good parallel is Daniel Bryan. We just saw this match with Daniel Bryan. So as far as the match quality goes, I think it's going to be infinitely better than it would have been with Braun Strowman. And I think it's them trying to make right by their fresh start advertising campaign that they came out with a month ago. But I don't know. I'm torn as you. There was a point last week where I said, well, maybe Finn could win this. You know what? I actually thought Finn was going to win. But the more I thought about this, I'm leaning more towards Brock Lesnar, not by a lot, but just slightly, because to me, having Brock come into WrestleMania, and again, I understand that there's two pay-per-views in between, but assuming he makes the jump to WrestleMania as the Universal Champion, I still think Brock Lesnar holds much more name value than does Finn Balor. And so having Brock drop the belt to, maybe it's a Finn Balor rematch, I don't know. But Brock needs to have that belt off of him. I mean, I think as great of an attraction as Brock Lesnar is, I think we are all tired of seeing him at this point. I'm ready for Brock Lesnar to go away. Because you have him come out on Raw. He doesn't do anything. He stands there. It's kind of the same old song and dance, as awesome as Paul Heyman is. It just feels like it's a tired act. I'm ready for Brock to leave. That Universal Championship needs exposure on Raw. I don't need an absentee champion. We've seen this before. Roman Reigns obviously goes down, leaves with cancer and that whole story, and then Brock reclaims the belt. And now we have this underdog story, and they keep pointing to David and Goliath, which we've heard 400 million times as a reference to a big guy versus a small guy in WWE. And I get it. But I can't discount Finn. But as you just said, if you're going to put a gun to my head, I'm going Brock Lesnar. I think Brock Lesnar's a smart money. And I think this is going to be a match where there are going to be some near falls on Brock that are going to scare the hell out of you if you have money on Brock Lesnar winning.
Oh, yeah. You know Balor's going to hit like three coup de grace in a row, and then everyone's going to think like he's got it, and then a kick out. But here's a big question. I mean, it's kind of obvious. Say Balor does win. You damn sure know he's holding that belt until WrestleMania, because there's no way Balor's going to win this title back and lose that Elimination Chamber at Fastlane. So say Balor does win. I know people don't like talking about this. Who does he face at WrestleMania? You really think they're going to have Balor versus Braun at WrestleMania? Hell no. You think they're going to have Rollins versus Balor at WrestleMania again after we've seen it like 15 times in the past 2 years? No. We've seen Balor versus McIntyre about 10 times in the past 2 years, or year, however long Drew's been there. So who does Balor face at WrestleMania if he does win the title? That's what I'm saying is if Balor wins, it's got to be a shocking person that Balor has not faced yet.
And I think that you just sealed the deal for me in terms of Brock winning. And again, it's not by a massive margin, but I think that the men's Royal Rumble winner, who I have on that, and we'll get to that in a second, makes total sense to face Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor. I think that this individual, who I believe is going to win the Royal Rumble match for the men's part, is in fact a much better opponent for Brock than for Finn. So in that very seamless transition, Well, who's your pick for the men's Royal Rumble match winner?
The men's Royal Rumble, people can't see, but I'm wearing the Monday Night Rollins shirt. So I got Seth Rollins winning it, going on to face Brock Lesnar. This has been rumored a couple months now. It's crazy how these rumors can come out in like October or November about who's going to win the Rumble. And last year, I picked the Royal Rumble winner over 6 months before the Rumble happened, and that was Nakamura. And I picked that in July when I was going to Battleground in Philadelphia. And last February, right after the Rumble, like 2 weeks after, I said Seth Rollins was going to win this year. I have proof of that. So if anyone wants to go to Degnan_Matt on Twitter, DM me. I will send you that screenshot of me picking Seth Rollins winning the Rumble this year a year ago, and I will send it to you. So I still have Seth Rollins winning this year.
We got the Nostradamus of wrestling predictions here. That's awesome.
Can you imagine getting the Royal Rumble pick once? 2 years in a row. 2 years. I don't know who I picked the year before that. That was at the Alamo Dome. Yeah, I don't know. Randy Orton winning that was weird.
Yeah, that was just weird. Yeah.
It was stupid. And then Bray Wyatt, it was so obvious that they were gonna face each other. And that match was awful.
Oh, and then Randy Orton chasing him into his the middle of the woods house, and what was that, the House of Horrors match or whatever, and all that, and he burned the house down, and he got, like, Sister Abigail's powers were gone, but then he got resurrected. It was bizarre.
It was stupid. That's another wasted Rumble thing. I hope they do not waste it. 2017 was wasted with Orton. 2018 was wasted with Nakamura. 2016, we saw Triple H win. That was terrible. 2015, Roman Reigns won. He didn't even win the title. Seth Rollins cashed in. 2014, we saw Batista win. 2013, Cena, which was stupid. 2012, who won in 2012? Oh, Sheamus. But
Sheamus, yeah.
Isn't that the year where he won in like 13 seconds or 10 seconds?
I think, yeah, it might have been. I'm thinking, didn't they have that 40-man Royal Rumble? Wasn't that...
That was 2011. That's Alberto Del Rio won.
Yeah.
And then he faced Edge, but Edge retained against him. So all these Royal Rumble winners have been terrible. Awful. So this year is their year to really make it right. If Braun wins, I'm going to be mad.
He'll be the guy that will come in at like 20 or 21, and there'll be that buildup of just a mass of humanity in the ring for him to toss out, and you'll have the announcers and they're all their intelligence try to sway us into believing that Braun can win.
And Jerry Lawler, how he picks a different person every single time.
Yeah, I know.
So stupid. Oh, this is my guy now. He gets eliminated. Oh, this is my pick.
Yeah.
What a clown.
It's maddening sometimes, but I'm on that train. I really don't have much to add other than, yes, Rollins wins this, I believe, too. And as you just, they have to make right. The Royal Rumble has almost now become an annual frustration for fans because WWE, they just know the WWE is going to pick the guy that they want, not the fans want. Now that WWE has publicly proclaimed that they are going to be on the fan side and we're going to give you fresh matchups, which to me is not the problem with WWE. It's their approach to what professional wrestling is, but that's neither here nor there. This is their time to actually show us, put your money where your mouth is and give us the guy that we want to win. And I think it has to be Rollins. It has to be. They've put so much stock in Seth Rollins. He's easily the top babyface on Monday Night Raw. They have to have Seth Rollins win this. I just don't see another way out. Could I see Samoa Joe win? Maybe. Could I see Strowman win? God, I hope not. Drew McIntyre scares me. The only problem with that is Drew McIntyre's a heel. If Brock retains and goes to WrestleMania, you can't have a heel-on-heel match. So that's the only thing that would dissuade me unless Finn Balor wins. But as you just said, we've seen Finn and Drew McIntyre every other Monday Night Raw. So,
and even Finn and Seth, that's boring. Can you imagine, this is probably a long shot. I've heard Roman Reigns is in Phoenix. He just arrived today. But can you imagine if they give us Reigns and Lesnar again at WrestleMania? If Reigns is cleared, I know he might not be cleared now. Maybe he was secretly given admission to wrestle or something like that. But just imagine in your wildest dreams, at 30, 3, 2, 1, he comes out, he throws everyone. Oh, my God.
that and you hear be... Michael Cole and the Big Dog. You can hear it. Oh, I can just hear it. Well, first of all, I could hear, I think, and I really believe this, as much as I have been, I have torn Roman Reigns apart, and only because I don't want to see him ever leave WWE. I think he's an amazing asset to WWE. I just think he's been miscast for the last 4 or 5 years. And I will say
this would just be this would just be a big force down the fans' throats.
Oh, no, just, no question about it. I mean,
my God, having him win, have it be the Cinderella story, coming back from all his stuff, facing Lesnar, beating him again for his title. I know his story is great, but it would just bore the hell out of me.
It would, and I don't. As much as I would like to believe they can't do that, I would not put anything past Vince McMahon, who has some kind of fetish with Roman Reigns getting over. And when I say getting over, I mean being cheered and being getting the reaction that he's cast to get, which he has not gotten since he's been babyface. But the problem with this whole thing is, I think Roman Reigns, upon his return, will get cheered. And it will be a massive reaction. Even if you were a Roman Reigns hater before and you booed him, even though they think people booed him just because it's the cool thing to do or whatever stupid logic that they have given this, is that Roman Reigns will get the massive reaction and get the crazy loud pop that I think he rightfully deserves. The problem is, though, if they do what you're saying and Roman Reigns wins the Royal Rumble match, it will instantly turn to booze. I really believe that. I didn't even think about that possibility because I unless it was news that just came across the wire, I haven't seen anything about Roman Reigns being in Phoenix, but I would not.
But the thing is, you can have Ric Flair in Phoenix. He could just be there to watch. That's the thing.
Yep.
Like when Ric Flair was at Raw a couple weeks ago in Orlando, he didn't show up on camera, but he was there. So that's just something like someone being there to watch and be with the guys. And this is a type of event where you want like someone like Roman there to talk to guys and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's that to me, that would be the most logic thing. And I think that's actually what's going to happen is Roman Reigns just there to support the guys, talk to the guys, catch up.
You never know with WWE. You don't know what's going on in Roman Reigns' life. I've seen pictures of him. He's working out. He's going to the gym. He's working out. He's taking pictures of fans. His body looks good. He doesn't have any physical, anything physical wrong with him. Nothing from his like chemo, losing his hair or anything. He still has his full beard. He looks good. He looks like he could still wrestle, but we don't know what the doctors are telling him. That's the thing.
You're scaring me now. So, all right. No, I didn't even consider that possibility, but man, I would just like to see, number one, the crowd's reaction to that whole thing, because I think it would be yay and then boo if he wins.
At first, it'd be a couple claps and then ooh.
Yeah, like, oh, wait a minute. We are having flashbacks to 2015.
They're going to be like, oh, he's back. And then they're going to be like, wait, Brock won earlier. Oh, yeah. And they're going to start putting the pieces together.
Yep.
And oh, jeez.
The guy that even The Rock couldn't save in Philadelphia. I don't think. Yeah, no. All right, so this is the final match here, and that's the Women's Royal Rumble match, which I wouldn't be surprised if that closes the show. I really wouldn't. Who are you? Who's your pick on this?
This is tough for me. I have two logical ones and one dream one. I'll give you my dream one because it's not happening. But Asuka retaining and Ember Moon winning the Rumble and having that at WrestleMania. That's my dream pick. Like, if I had to book it, I would do that. But my logical pick is Becky winning. Mm-hmm. And then my other one is the 1994 Rumble finish with Charlotte and Becky, their feet hitting the floor at the same time, and that being the triple threat. But my first pick is Becky winning. Second is Lynch and Charlotte, their feet hitting at the same time. There is a possibility that Charlotte can win it by herself, but then that definitely has to mean Lynch getting that SmackDown Women's title back.
And that could very well be a 94 finish. The problem with that is it's so hard to pull off these days because there's only one take. And you'd have people saying, well, where's the camera angles? There's 400 cameras in the arena. How did no one get a slow-mo version of that? Or you'd have a fan on the side sticking their cell phone camera out there and they'd get a better angle or something. There's a lot of risk there doing that in this day and age where in 94, it was just kind of like you just take what you're told. There's no slow-mo. There's none of that. There's no instant replay. Could that happen? Yeah, I would like to see Charlotte stay away from Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, Please stay away from, we've seen it, we've been there, we've done that. It's Ronda, it's Becky, period. And I don't want Charlotte interjecting herself. To me, it's Charlotte and maybe Asuka as a rematch at WrestleMania. Is that the match I want to see? I don't know. I mean, the Ember Moon deal seems to be a little more, at least appealing to me, than Charlotte and Asuka round two. But yeah, I think this is a pretty simple one, and it's Becky winning. We'll get some moments where, you know, Becky is maybe incapacitated on the side of the ring. Maybe she gets put through a table. And then you see her pop up, and I don't know, you could have her look like she's out, maybe injured, getting stretcher to the back, and then she comes back out and does that heroic return. Although we've seen that with Roman Reigns and the fans still rejected it. So I don't know. I mean, I think Becky wins. I don't want to get too complicated with this, and we get a Becky choosing Ronda Rousey to face at WrestleMania 35.
As much as it drives people crazy with the Rumble, it's still awesome to think about it. But because they have so many, they literally have 30 people to choose from, and somehow WWE will still find a way to mess it up. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing.
Yeah,
but I just love the storylines and where they're going to go, the possibilities that could happen. I think WrestleMania is primed to be very good this year, hoping they don't screw it up.
They can't. To me, and people have always, and I've gotten some feedback on Twitter on all this, and by the way, like, where, oh, well, they're talking about Fresh Start, and it seems like the same Raw, and, well, I'm like, wait a minute. They have had the same formula for how many years, 25 years they've been doing Raw, and they're just supposed to blow up their entire model and make it feel like a totally new show. They can't just do that with so many things that they know works just to try a whole bunch of stuff that they don't know is going to work that could actually make things worse. So to me, and I've seen just what they're doing is they're doing a little bit here, a little bit there. It's a gradual change where people wanted a light switch change overnight, and that's not going to happen. With all of that said, though, I think the first time we actually measure the success and whether or not WWE is making good on their word is at WrestleMania. That's their report card. Did they actually do what they said they were going to do and give the fans what they want at WrestleMania? And to me, that's where I'm going to judge. Did they follow through, or are they making big strides to following through? I don't need to see instant change. I don't think instant change is good to change just to change. It needs to be strategic. It needs to be well thought out. And I think the slow burn approach is what WWE is taking. They're taking the safe road, and that's angering some fans that just want to see a whole new product, and it's not going to happen right away.
No, as I said before, it's going to take baby steps, because you can't just, like you said, you can't just tear it down. You got to take those steps, get people ready, pushing people up, the people that are in the spotlight, slowly bring them down. So it's going to take a little bit, but I think it all starts at the Royal Rumble. I think their main goal is to totally turn it around. Maybe we see like a bunch of title changes at the Rumble, but what it's looking like right now is just a bunch of retains.
It does look like a bunch of retains because they just won them. I mean, a lot of the champions that are coming into this with the belts just won them about a month ago. I mean, like, it just doesn't make sense. I'm not a fan of playing hot potato with any belt. It just devalues it. I don't like the fact, too, of everybody has to eventually hold the championship at some point. I don't like that. I don't like the feeling that, especially in the women's division in the past, that everybody just gets a turn with the belt. No, it's a hierarchy. I need wins and losses to mean something. I don't need everybody getting a turn with the belt to see if it catches fire. That's not how it works. It's not the belt making the wrestler. It's the wrestler making the belt. And I still believe that it should be the individual who is so hot that you're just clamoring to see them get to the top of the mountain, not just kind of, they're walking along a level playing field and, oh, it's your turn. It's your turn. Oh, it's like passing a baton. I don't like that. So, I don't know. Those are my thoughts. And so my last question to you before we head out here, besides Roman Reigns being the possible surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble, as you alluded to, which could happen, do you have any other possible surprise entrants that you're thinking of, men's or women's Royal Rumble?
Well, for men's, you got to look at Batista. He's been saying he wants to get back in the ring. Triple H has been cleared to work out again. That's not a possibility. People have been saying that. Velveteen Dream is a virtual lock for me. Last year, we saw the NXT champions from men's and women's, Andrade and Ember Moon. So maybe we see Ciampa come in. Maybe we see, I think Bianca Belair wins. We didn't talk about NXT, but I think Bianca Belair is going to win. Maybe we see her. Maybe we see Shayna Baszler. But I think a person I want to see in this match is Ricochet. I think with multiple people in that ring, he can fly everywhere. That's a person I want to see in there. Kenny Omega was on the table, but him going back to AEW takes him out of the running. So that was one person I wanted to see. You're probably going to see Bray Wyatt. You're probably going to see Dolph Ziggler. People you haven't seen in a couple of weeks or months are probably going to pop back up. There's only 10 spots, or I think now 9 spots left for the men. That's not too many, because you know they're going to throw in guys who aren't confirmed but are on the main roster. So, I mean, you're really looking at, like, 5 surprise entrants. But, and also for the women, there's only, like, 6 entries left. So for the women, you're not going to see that many surprises.
You're not. And the fact that they took away the number 30 surprise as far as who it's going to be for both men's and women's, that didn't sit well with me, maybe because they didn't have anything in mind for whoever was going to be that 30 spot. So when you get to 29, after 29, it's kind of like, well, I mean, anybody that believes R-Truth is going to win, I mean, they haven't been watching wrestling more than a couple of weeks. I mean, it's not going to happen. So that they kind of spoiled that last 30 spot. I mean, maybe they were doing that to tamper the expectations of fans and think it's not going to be, you know, like, I don't know, Stone Cold returning for number 30 or something like that.
Because I saw something where they might do something backstage where R-Truth might trade his spot with the number one guy, because it sounded better being 1 instead of 30, or having him enter like the Women's Rumble at 30, or having him just get beat up by a group of people, and then having like someone debut from NXT, like Adam Cole coming in at 30, or something like that. But I'll tell you right now, I don't think R-Truth is coming out at 30. If he does, they're going to mess up their spot right there. I think Carmella does come out at 30. I don't think R-Truth comes out at 30.
I wouldn't. I mean, hey, you need to start calling WWE and asking them for a writing position, because I really hope that's the case. I don't dislike Truth. The problem is I don't think he belongs in that spot per se. It's kind of a downer, because that 30, it's almost as if you build it up to 30. Like, who's going to be that final entrant? And you already know it's going to be Truth. It's like, oh, well, I mean, R-Truth, he's kind of a comedic relief type of performer. So I can't take him seriously. So after we get to 29, Rumble's over, everyone who's here is who's here. So, all right, well, listen, it has been, it's been a pleasure, Matt. But before we head out here, just let everyone know again, like, what's your Twitter handle? What's your other podcast and website that you have?
So my Twitter handle is Degnan_Matt on Twitter. On Instagram, it's Matt_Degnan. Degnan is DEGNAN. Matt is with 2 T's. And then I am the owner, and I host the Open Table Sports podcast. And I also host the Mario Chaos and the Kid podcast, which is the MCK podcast on Twitter. And then Open Table Sports on every social media platform. It's just Open Table Sports. No underscores, slashes, dashes, anything. It's just simple, Open Table Sports. And, yeah, we're going to keep rolling. I'm happy to be on here, man. It was fun.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. And everyone, definitely give him a follow and check out the website and podcast that you have. Some great content there. And listen, we'll definitely have to do this again. You enjoy the Rumble, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, brother.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.